Front Page, where 3CR Breakfast explores what's being reported and what's not in Australia's mainstream media. How the media prioritise the day's news, including issues of bias, corporate influence, and who gets a voice and who doesn't. Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. and again at 8 a.m. A critical analysis of the nation's newspapers.
Yes, you're listening to 3CR. It's International Day for People with a Disability, and we are broadcasting 12 hours of radio by, for, and about people with disabilities on 3CR this morning. We're now on the front page. Helen and I have been scouring the papers looking for
we have
mentions.
Magnifying glasses have been out.
Yeah, it required a fine tooth comb, and even with that, we found very little coverage in the mainstream papers about International Day for People with Disability or related issues. Bit of an overview. I went through the Financial Review to no avail. There was very little in the Financial Review.
It's because we've got no money.
That's right, yeah. And nothing in the Herald Sun until page 18, and I pounced on which turned out to be misread headline, James Packer in polio battle. And we've been expecting, we hoped for balanced coverage, but we were expecting lots of battler, heroic, gutsy kind of coverage.
Inspirational. Sheer determination.
Sort of themed reporting. And I thought I'd found one, James Packer in polio battle. But on closer inspection, it was actually polo battle, and he's got a plan to build a polo complex in an English village. So unfortunately, I had to keep going.
And perhaps it'll be accessible.
Maybe, yeah, we'll follow that one up. But that's the entirety of the Herald Sun's coverage. The Age, Helen, what did The Age have to say?
The Age was similarly deficient, doesn't mention International Day per se, and we've got, you know, one-fifth of the population have disabilities, whether physical or sensory or mental illness, but doesn't make much headway in The Age. Get to page 13. We do have a story about disability, yet another airline story. But a couple who were who have vision impairments, who were claim that Jetstar refused to allow them to book to fly with their guide dog. And this is another Jetstar triumph on the public relations front with disabilities after the issue with Kurt Fernley last month. And in this story, the couple, Glenn Bracewell and Catherine Beaton, were told that they were not allowed to take Prince. Labradors are always called Prince, but their guide dog, and was told that they would need to just leave it. I don't know. God, they didn't seem to be.
Yeah, what were they supposed to do with him?
But it doesn't actually say.
Put it in kennels.
Yeah, and the clerk says no dogs, and they were told that the dog was a trained guide dog, and they've refused to let it on. Had an argument with a manager, and in subsequent exchanges with customer staff, Jetstar were unsure about whether you could take a seeing eye dog along, and people were offered a $50 voucher instead, which doesn't actually help you get around very much. Jetstar's corporate relations head is saying that he takes the matter seriously and that it's not their style, and they do support people who need assistance. But the whole point was these people didn't need assistance. They just needed to be allowed.
They brought their own assistance.
That's right. Yeah. They were fine. And the stories are, there's clearly a training issue or some kind of staff turnover issue happening in airlines, because it's not just that you have to have these arguments. It's a different argument every time. Whenever you travel, you get searched in different ways every time. Things get taken off you in different ways and x-rayed, and you're sat in corners. There just doesn't seem to be any great consistency about it.
It's just a common sense argument as well, because it's just pretty obvious. If someone is saying that they have a guide dog and they need to travel, I can't understand a person saying, no dogs. It's like, no, it's not a dog, it's a guide dog. It's
a
mobility aid, in essence. And I think it's... There's common sense is sorely lacking in these discussions.
It is. And yeah, there are people who can't fly for business. There's stories in the National Disability Consultation Report shut out people who work in areas where there's not a whole lot of aircraft. And if you want to fly to and from Tasmania in your wheelchair, and there's one guy who's a consultant who works there a fair bit, he couldn't do his business because he couldn't get on often enough, because they didn't have enough capacity to take people with disabilities, or enough people. And there's one in five of the population is trying to travel. They need more ability to get on the aircraft. So that was the sole mention in The Age, and in the Herald's, and actually I should go back to the arts page, which you always do look for disability stories, because you never know, you're lucky, you might get some kind of nice coverage of an arts event. But there is a TV review tonight on 9:35pm. ABC rudely interrupted. There's a doco about the band's tour overseas and their performance at the United Nations in New York, which I think was last year for International Day. Five, six members of Rudely Interrupted have disabilities. The review is actually manages not to talk about inspirational, gutsy or any of that kind of stuff, although I did see a promo on the ABC which did call it an inspirational story. The reviewer here does manage to fit in five or six members suffering some sort of disability.
We were wondering the extent of their suffering.
That's right. Well, there's a great picture of them looking very punk, wearing like shades, looking very rock star-ish, flying around the world, going to the UN. So it's kind of suffering most of us are probably up for, I'd imagine.
And I've got the Australian, actually. The Australian, which is... to his credit today, given the rest of the papers, has one actual story about, it doesn't mention International Day for People with Disability, but it is talking about related issues. It's quite late on in the Australian. It has Care of Disabled National Disgrace. The Disability Investment Group, which is a government-appointed panel of experts, has found that as it terms it, National Army of 2.5 million family members and carers are giving their time free for the nation's disabled. It sounds like another army.
It should be.
But the government services remain a national disgrace, this panel has found. The Disability Investment Group says the basis of reform should be a no-fault government-funded national disability insurance scheme. And there's a lot of publicity about the need for that at the moment, and quite high profile figures. Bill Shorten's keen on the idea, and it's being promoted quite strongly. The panel says that there's a strong economic case for it, and it could be funded out of general revenue or out of a Medicare style levy.
It's kind of interesting that there has to be a strong economic argument before people will take it seriously, that it can't just be a rights based argument that you're entitled to a certain standard of living.
Yeah. But I suppose the economic case, I mean, it's an economic case for the ETS and all the rest of it. Moment, so that is our barometer of importance.
That's right.
The panel on the Disability Investment Group included Rhonda Galbally, Chair of the National People with Disabilities and Carer Council, who will be a guest on this special 12-hour broadcast 3CR today. The panel concluded that despite a $20 billion investment annually by governments, there remains a large and growing and unmet need for care and support. And Bill Shorten said yesterday that the panel's criticism was justified. So there's a story.
All right. Well, just finishing up with the Herald sign, absolutely no coverage of International Day of People with Disabilities or disability-related stories, which is shocking. And if you want to be shocked even further, there are photographs of Tony Abbott in his underpants.
Yes, we must.
So, if you want a day of just sheer horror, no disability coverage, and Tony Abbott.
Tony Abbott inevitably is on the front pages with, apart from his speedos. Thankfully, he's not on the front pages with his speedos. You've got to go deeper into the paper to see that.
There's a sealed section.
Yeah, it's a special sealed section. And a cartoon of him in his speedos as well.
She's old, isn't it?
Wasn't enough. Yeah. In actual fact, he's talking about policy as well. Liberal leader Tony Abbott, he's got a plan for what he calls a tax-free carbon plan, using land management and energy efficiency measures instead of what he calls the ETS, he calls a stealth tax, and carbon tax is a tax. He says, we won't go to the election with a new tax, stealth or otherwise. But Climate Change Minister Penny Wong has said there is no such thing as a cost-free way to tackle climate change, which I think is goes back to the economic argument. I think that's probably a good point to note, that it's not really about how we can do climate change stuff on the cheap. It's more about how we can, you know, save the planet, just little things like that.
That's right. So that's all the front page for today. Just looking at the weather, Melbourne today will be minimum 17 degrees, maximum 31, so it's going to be a hot day, and maybe some showers later on, and some getting a bit windy this afternoon. So
A very good way of pointing out to people that as it's going to be such a nice day, it might be nice to go down to Fed Square.
It might. What's happening, Rich?
3CR is broadcasting from Fed Square from 12 o'clock.
Yep.
And we've got an outside broadcast there, and there's an event already going on there. We're joining in with Travellers Aid and Wheelchair Sports Victoria, who are holding, there's all sorts of things going on, including wheelchair basketball matches and that kind of thing. 3CR is going to be down there with The Boldness, who is one of our programmes on 3CR. That's going to be Phineas Meir and Paul Gianni going to be speaking with representatives from AFDO and from talking about all different aspects of disability, local and international. So head on down to Fed Square anytime around lunchtime and you'll see us there.
And just a couple of other quick events. Compass Clubhouse, if you want to celebrate today, 12 noon, there's also a barbecue in Northcote. That's up at 179 High Street, Northcote. The Compass Clubhouse is a self-determining clubhouse for people with acquired brain injuries. And you're welcome to drop in. They're having a sausage sizzle. They'll be listening to 3CR as well. And they're doing a bit of a fundraiser, but they're also trying to get people a bit more aware about the clubhouse, which is we've got a story on later on this afternoon about Compass Clubhouse and how it's a place where people organise their own recovery from brain injury. Also later this week, Friday, December the 4th, tomorrow evening at North Melbourne Town Hall, Club Wild, who have given us a whole load of music to play out today. They're having a classic rock and dance club event. This is all accessible. Bipolar Bears, The Hacketts and DJs will be playing. And it's $15 and carers can come free. So that's all accessible. And you'll find more information at Club Wild website.
And also happening this week to celebrate International Day of People with Disabilities, Weave Movement Theatre and the City of Moreland are presenting Triplicity. Triplicity is a groundbreaking dance and physical theatre collaboration. It's between Weave Movement Theatre and Melbourne choreographers Michelle Heaven, Kate Middleweek and Gerard Van Dyke. It's basically three short works exploring all sorts of different elemental forces. It's going to be on at the Mechanics Institute Performing Arts Centre, which is the corner of Sydney and Glen Lyon Roads in Brunswick. And it's on the... as I've said, it's this week. It's on the 10th, 11th and 12th of December, so that's coming up at 8 p.m. Tickets are $10. And if you want to find out more, bookings are 9388 1942. And if you want to find more information about what we're talking about today, check out the 3CR website, www.3cr.org.au, throughout the day, because we'll be updating the website throughout the day and you'll find links to lots of the people we've been speaking to and events that are happening today. Just one more before we move on. The back to Fed Square, the Melbourne Mobility Centre is having its open day today between 10 and 5. The Melbourne Mobility Centre is on the first floor of the Federation Square car park on the corner of Flinders and Russell Street. If you go there today, you get to try the mobility equipment for free, grab a bite to eat, have a chat to the staff and get lots of information on how to access the City of Melbourne. So head on down to Fed Square and you'll see them there. If you want to call them, it's 1-800-735-266. So that sounds like a good event too, so head down to that. It's a good day to go to Fed Square.
And now we've got some tech talk. So we're over to Scott Nixon and Deb Lewis for their review of some adaptive hardware and software for blind and vision impaired people.
Thanks a lot, Helen. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today. My name is Scott Nixon, and I am vision impaired. Well, I like to think of myself as blind as a bat, but that's just me. And for the next 15 or so minutes, I'm in charge of what you see and hear. Well, not necessarily what you see, but definitely what you hear, with the assistance of my good friend Michael Kelly, who's over in the booth twiddling the dials and pressing all the jolly red buttons that make things go bing. And Michael is also vision impaired as well, and he does a fantastic job on another weekly radio show which I do for Blind Citizens Australia. But right here and right now on 3CR, we're talking International Day of People with a Disability. Now, from a blind point of view, life can be challenging. Let's not deny it. It's challenging for, well, everyone really, especially people with a disability. But for people who are blind or have low vision, it can be particularly difficult in regards to accessing, well, everything in life really. But of course, I like to look at life basically as, okay, I can't see. But that just makes me a little bit better in some ways, because there are things in life that I don't have to see. You know, the horrors of war, tragic car wrecks, Nicole Kidman's acting, because unfortunately, trust me, hearing it is bad enough. But there are things that are able to assist me and many other people who are blind or vision impaired to lead much more fulfilling lives and even access most things that everyone else would take for granted. One of those things is adaptive technology. Now, a little bit earlier, I spoke to Deb Lewis about this very fact, and I started by welcoming her like this. Welcome to the show, Deb.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
Now, just for people out there, would you mind telling us your exact role?
Well, I'm the manager of the Statewide Vision Resource Centre, which is a Department of Education facility based in Donvale, mm-hmm. in Melbourne.
Okay, and what does the Resource Centre actually provide?
Well, we have a number of different roles. We provide professional development for teachers and parents and aides and visiting teachers. That's mm-hmm. one of our kind of main roles. Another of our main roles is provision of materials in alternative format, so that's Braille, large print, audio, and e-text.
Okay,
and
yeah.
That goes out to the students.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So we just covered off on a couple of things there which fall under the category of what we like to call adaptive tech, which is something that can assist someone who's blind or vision impaired to obtain information, get to resources, and also participate in such things as education exactly the same way as a fully sighted person would.
Yep.
Now, you're, of course, a very big proponent of said technologies, as am I, being a blind person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought we'd fill the listeners in who may not necessarily know all the stuff that's available. We'll just give them a brief précis over some of the things that are available. Now, I was actually travelling into the studio today, and I was texting someone on my mobile phone.
Uh-huh.
And someone saw me sitting there with the white cane next to me, and they said to me, "Mate, how are you doing that text?" So I showed them, because my phone has a little program on it called Talks, which is a text screen reader program, which reads out essentially reads out what you're typing for a text message, reads out text messages to you, enables you to navigate all the functions of a mobile phone, and it can be loaded into most phones that have a certain operating system on them. And it really has enabled the vision impaired community to really get into the mobile phone age.
Yeah, they're absolutely fantastic, aren't they? I saw a couple of examples at our expo last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We had a young gentleman there demonstrating them. And, you know, I've seen how they work there. They really do empower the user.
Oh, absolutely.
And give them access to something that's essentially a print-based item.
Mm, exactly. And also, not only do we have the Talks program for mobile phones, but also the Apple iPhone now has a built-in feature where you can just hit an icon on the main menu and it will automatically start talking to you like a phone with Talks on it. So... Which is really good. And also, Apple have the iPod. Now, the iPod Touch and iPod Nano apparently also have, I've actually seen one myself, with a audio navigation feature, which allows you to navigate all the features of an iPod as well, so you can download all your favourite tracks or even audiobooks and listen to them through the iPod that way. Now, Deb, you mentioned the expo you went to last week. What were some of the other things that you saw?
Well, there was a whole range of access technology options for people with vision impairment. So there was, you know, items with Braille output, Braille input, mm-hmm. audio output, e-text, and large print. So we had, you know, for example, JAWS software, which talks.
Just for people out there who don't know what JAWS is, it's like the program I was talking about just earlier for the mobile phones, except on a much larger scale, in that you can load it into your computer and you can use everything that is Windows-based. So you can be whizzing around the internet to your heart's content and the computer will actually read to you what's on the screen. I use it myself and it has really enabled me to embrace, well, what I like to call the computer geek within, basically. So that sort of thing is really invaluable. It's a little bit on the expensive side, but when you're paying for the quality that you get, you can look past it, really.
Mm, yeah, and there were a number of other options. WindowEyes is another product that does similar sort of voice output. And as you're explaining too, it gives you access to the menus as well as the text that you type or the text in a document such as an email. So it's a, you know, fantastic and flexible piece of software.
Yeah, because during my time over the past several years, while I've been looking for work, for example, being able to explain to employers that this sort of stuff is available, and there are even government subsidies in place to enable a workplace to modify their equipment so that a vision impaired person can actually come in and work on their systems. A lot of people just look at you blankly because they don't believe that A, the technology exists, B, that it's so accessible, and C, they can even get cash from the federal and state governments to assist with it.
I know, it's really helpful, isn't it? You know, it certainly makes people with vision impairments infinitely more employable, obviously, if they can get the software and the hardware that they need in order to access the computer, which is essentially the tool that we all use these days.
Absolutely. And we've been mentioning a fair bit about Braille for those people out there who've been living under a rock for the past 200-odd years. Braille is, of course, the series of little dots that can make out letters, words, numbers, the whole nine yards. And you can often see vision-impaired people around reading Braille just by running their hands over the paper and so forth. And the amount of technology that's come out just in the past couple of years, I was actually at an expo myself back in October, and the amount of information that you can get put into Braille formats now, for example, is amazing. You can get entire novels printed out into Braille now, So which is really, really amazing. Personally, I don't read Braille. I tried to learn, but I kind of got a little bit confused after a while because, you know, dot this, dot, 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 that, dot, slash, whatever. Mm-hmm. It tends to get a little bit confusing. But if you learn it early enough, it is an invaluable tool.
And, I mean, you don't have to just read Braille as a hard copy, as in on paper. So there's devices now that you can purchase which have what they call a refreshable Braille display, which means that they've got one line of Braille which pops up, and it sort of follows the document as if you're reading a line of print at a time. So, you know, you read the one line of Braille, then press a little button, and then it goes down to the next line of Braille. Which is absolutely wonderful, and there's a couple of fantastic products such as PacMate and BrailleNote that give, you know, we've got a number of students using them now, and they give fantastic access. Both of those devices also have voice output as well, so, and they're just little pocket devices, or not pocket devices, but portable devices.
Round about the size of a standard notebook computer these days.
Or even smaller. So they're very, very, you know, carry anywhere and very flexible. So, you know, you can have hundreds of novels, for example, as e-text files, which you can then access through your refreshable Braille display.
Exactly. I mean, the amount of stuff out there is growing by the day, and like I can walk into a place that has some of these items for sale or display, and I can walk in week to week, and they come out with a new version of everything. So really, the technology's there, the innovation is there, and the ability to adapt almost everything in life these days for someone who's blind or vision impaired is really fantastic. When you think about 20 years ago when I was a kid, they really didn't have that much. And these days, you can basically walk out and access everything from today's newspaper to the biggest selling novel in the world, at a click of a finger, basically.
That's right. And I think, for the low vision user, the world isn't large print. The world is ordinary print. And it's also the internet. So essentially, you've got to find a convenient way to access that. So either it's enlargement via your computer, or it's voice output or Braille output. And that gives you access to, you know, the whole of the internet, which certainly, offers you a much wider range of knowledge.
Exactly.
You know, large print, for example. So we're really encouraging our students to use e-text as much as possible, and that e-text could be a Word file, or, I mean, it's even as simple as an email or the internet or PDF files. There's ways that you can enlarge them or even make them speak as well. And lots of textbooks these days are coming out as PDF files. So, you know, with a reasonable amount of vision and a bit of enlargement, those books can be accessed, and they're formatted exactly the same way as the original print document, so there's nothing lost. Students.
Exactly. Well, Deb, that's all the time we have for today, unfortunately. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Oh, that's okay. Great. It's been great to talk to you, Scott.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll be speaking to you again very soon. But for now, Deb Lewis, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And another huge thanks to Deb Lewis there. This is 3CR, and we're bringing you a day of programming to celebrate International Day of People with a Disability. Great shows throughout the day by people like me who do have a disability of one form or another. My name is Scott Nixon, and now I just want to have a little chat to you. If you're looking for a Christmas present for a family member who is blind or has low vision, you can't go wrong with a DVD. Now, most people would look at me at that point and say, yeah, okay, they can listen to the DVD and everything, but they won't be able to know what's on the screen if it's like an action movie or something. We now have audio description on DVDs. You might have accidentally stumbled across this by accident with some DVDs when you were going through the language options, for example. Now, a perfect example of this is the new Harry Potter movie, which came out on DVD just a couple of weeks ago. Now, with this, what you do is you put the DVD into the machine, get through all the warnings and so forth up to the main menu screen, then you click on language options, setup, whatever they like to call it, where you can access different audio tracks. All you do is look around for what is called English, in brackets, descriptive audio, or AD. Now, you click on that, start the movie, and it will explain to you what's happening on the screen when there isn't any dialogue. So, for example, when characters are talking, you can hear them perfectly and hear the music in the background and stuff like that. And when they're not talking, for example, if Harry's casting a spell or something, the audio describer comes over and says, Harry waves his wand and a shower of green sparks erupts forth, you know, that sort of thing. So it really conveys everything that's happening on the screen to the best ability of the audio describer. Things like costumes, sets, facial expressions, all that sort of good stuff. Also recently released was the new Star Trek movie from earlier this year. And myself being a huge Trekkie, I basically fell over into a twitching heap of happiness when I found out that this had AD on it. The audio description for it is really, really good and really helps you understand the movie a heck of a lot more. And I've actually watched audio described movies with friends who are fully sighted, and they turn to me at the end of it and say that the audio describer actually picked up things that even they hadn't noticed in the movie, and they've got full sight. So not all movies, unfortunately, have audio description, but it really is picking up. So look at the back of the box, and if it says English descriptive audio or has a little AD symbol, you know you're getting an audio described film. I wish I could talk more about this, but unfortunately, I am fresh out of time. I would like to thank everyone at 3CR for their kindness and support in allowing me to come on and do this little piece today for you guys. If you've got any questions or any queries, just jump on the internet and type in, for example, Vision Australia, Blind Citizens Australia. They're free organisations here to help you. Check out their websites. They're really great. Thank you to Michael Kelly in the booth for his invaluable assistance as always. My name is Scott Nixon, and I hope very, very much to talk to you again soon. Take it easy.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Nixon from Vision Australia and Deb Lewis from Statewide Vision Resource Centre. Thanks to all of our guests this morning on Breakfast for People with Disabilities, Leslie Hall, Tom Shakespeare, Rebecca Feldman, Carmen Parsons, Chris Morris, and of course Scott. You'll be listening to 3CR all day today. We've got Talk Back at 9:30, so all about disability, identity. Do you even call yourself disabled? What do you call yourself? And give us a call. We're on 94190155. That's from 9:30 right through to 11 a.m. Next up, we've got Finn Meir from The Boldness.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.